둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh my gosh, we're both in green.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button, of course, so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Three interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones at all the usual places, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And if you can do us a big favor, do the rating and leave a review as well. That's the best way to help out a podcast like this. Give us a rating wherever you're listening from, and then tell everybody else why they should listen as well, why you like listening to it. And I'll keep you giving you plenty of reasons, hopefully, to keep coming back. Some of my recent guests have included, we just did a bunch of best of episodes, Janelle Monae, Andy Taylor from Duran Duran, Queens of the Stone Age singer Josh Homme, Dolly Parton was here, Les Claypool from Primus, Keanu Reeves dropped by, Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam, we talked with David Alan Greer about The Color Purple, Mikael Hausman from Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon, Gracie Abrams, Nushin Noor, Nathan Stewart, Jarrett, and Neve Algar from the show Culprits, we talked with Vince Clark from Erasure and Depeche Mode, Julia Michaels, who soundtracked Disney's Wish. We had Omar J. Dorsey from Bookies, Roseanne Cash, Kate Siegel, Shelley Hennig. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today hanging with McKenna Grace. We're going to be talking to the actress and musician about her latest single, Natalie, as well as reprising her role in the upcoming Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. She's going to discuss how she wrote the new song as a tribute to her friend Xochitl Gomez, basing her recent EPs on different genres, pop-punk for Bittersweet 16 and more folk for Autumn Leaves, and wanting to make a metal album. In fact, this is a really fun part of this interview. She name-checks System of a Down as just one of her current favorite bands that is inspiring the hard rock side of her, but also not to be boxed in. We talk about her favorite albums of the year and all time, and she names Taylor Swift's Folklore as maybe her all-time favorite album, along with Blonde Shell's 2023 release and Alanis Morissette's Under Rug Swept. McKenna's going to go on to tell us what it is like returning to the Ghostbusters franchise, and how her character, Phoebe, has grown, as well as the jam sessions she had with co-stars Finn Wolfhard and Paul Rudd during the downtime on this shoot. You get all that and more. We're talking new single Natalie and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It's Kyle Meredith with McKenna Grace.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I've been watching you for years in all your various roles and now catching up on your music career. That's, I mean, you've only been doing this for, I mean, professionally now, in the public, I guess, for a few years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What year is it? It's 2023 as of right now. I think I've been doing this for 2 years professionally. Three? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Sure. It's still somewhat recent in the whole game of your career, which is, and I'm saying that as a compliment because your songs are so well thought out and the hooks are so good and the songwriting is so great. And so first, let me throw that because as something that's still sort of new in your career, you got to jump on it really quick.
Thanks. I mean, it is cool. I'm only 2 years going in music whenever I've been acting for 13. So in the grand scheme of things, it is such a short like amount of time, but it feels like I've been doing it for a while.
Well, you're already good at the craft and you got this new single and it's called Natalie,
mm-hmm.
which is really great. I'd love to hear the story from this too, because this stems from a real life friendship of yours, correct?
Mm-hmm. It does. I wrote a love song about my friend because I have this girlfriend of mine and I went out with her one night and I went home and I was honestly like, I was like down in the dumps. I was like, man, why can't I be as cool as her? Like, I want to be her. Like, it's so unfair. And I had a session the next day and I went into the studio and I was like, you know, I was so like frustrated. I was like, man, she's just so freaking cool and perfect and pretty and like all of these things. I wish I was her. And then I was like, you know what? I don't want to write a negative song though. That's, I'm not negatively jealous. I'm just like, man, you're so freaking cool. I wish I was you, you know? And so instead of writing a negative song, I was like, why don't I just write a love song about her? Why don't I just write a love song about her? Like, I admire all these things about her. Why not? I think that that's a much more positive way to look at things. And so I was like, why don't I just write a love song for my friend? I'm going to start writing love songs about my friends.
Which is a great thing to do because it's usually easier to go negative, right? I mean, you talk about, you know, people will say it's easier to write a heartbreak song than to write a happy song.
Oh, it is. It is. That's why my like entire discography is heartbreak songs.
So did you find that like once you had decided like, okay, we're gonna go for the positive side of this, I mean, did it come easy? Did you find it to be a challenge?
I mean, not entirely. I was just like, the main thing I wanted to get across, I was like, this is the kind of girl that like is just perfect, and this is the kind of girl that you would fall in love with, this is the kind of girl that you'd write a song about. Like, that's just what I wanted to infuse in the song, and I feel like I got that across because I do literally say that. But no, I felt like it was pretty easy. It's it was nice. It was a nice like little write. It was nice. It was fun. I had a great time writing it.
I think we all set ourselves up against other people in comparison, some probably unfairly most of the time. Like, you know that you've got fans who think the same thing about you, and yet you still find yourself in that same position. Is that fair? Yeah.
I think that it's, yeah, everybody feels that way. I feel that way 24/7 with all of the people I know. I'm constantly like, oh my God, like everyone I know is so cool. Why am I not as cool as them? You know, it's just like, that's just a part of life. So I figured, I don't know, there's always a negative spin on everything, but why not write a love song? Why not write a love song about a girlfriend of mine? Like, that just sounds nice. You know, I feel like, I don't know. I always listen to songs and I'm like, oh my God, I wish that this song was written about me, or I wish this. And I was like, why don't I just do that for like everyone I know? Why don't I just write love songs about people? Like, why not? I feel like that's positive. That's nice. Put it out into the universe. And it's still kind of expressing those feelings of, I wish I was you. You're so cool. You're so beautiful. But it doesn't have to be in a negative way.
So are you thinking about, like, why don't you write a song for all of your friends? Are you doing that now? Or can you?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, why don't I write more songs for my friends? Like, honestly, why don't I? I was just thinking about that. I have, I have a few different songs for a few of my friends. I do. I haven't put them out yet. I have a song for my mom. You know, I've kind of been branching out lately. I've been like, I should stop writing about heartbreak as much. I was like, I need to branch out just a little bit. So I felt like this was a really fun start into that.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with McKenna Grace. Even concept focus, I was wondering that about you because, you know, you're looking at the last couple EPs, Bittersweet 16, Autumn Leaves, have both been musically, it feels like anyway, concept focus, whereas Bittersweet was a little bit pop rock and Autumn Leaves has a bit more of the softer, folkier side to it. Like when you're putting together collections like these EPs, is that helpful? Do you think inside genre in that way?
Sometimes for Bittersweet 16, that just kind of came together the way that it did. I was just kind of in a vibe where that was the kind of music I was creating. And there were so many songs that were left out of that, but those were the ones that like fit together and made sense, that told a story. And Autumn Leaves was much more conceptually like, I wanted to make something that fit and felt like autumn. And originally there was so much more to that. It was like an album, but then I ended up narrowing it down to just a few songs and connecting them that really made sense and told a story. But there's so much more to that story, but that was what made sense. And I mean, for what I'm putting together right now, I have so many ideas, but then I just keep on having new life experiences and writing so much more music. That's what always happens with these ideas that I have. I have like an idea for an album or for an EP and I completely put it together. But the next thing I know, before my label's even done processing it, I'm like, okay guys, I've moved on. I have an idea for something new. This is what I'm doing now. So I'm just kind of like seeing and writing and trying to constantly outdo my previous writing until something sticks and molds together. I have a good idea for what I want to put out next. I have a concept and a sound that I'm playing with, but I feel like right now I'm messing around with a good in between of Autumn Leaves and Bittersweet 16. But I'm very in like a Lana Del Rey like space where I'm feeling different and I'm feeling fun and I'm feeling feminine. So I'm just like, I'm trying out all sorts of new things. I don't know.
I can hear the Lana a little bit, especially in Natalie and in the Autumn Leaves stuff. I've heard you talk about some of, you know, your other, I don't know if you call them North Stars, but I was trying to remember, like you've mentioned in the past, like Radiohead and The Hole, of course, you're speaking my language on stuff like Mitski, I believe.
Oh yeah. Love her. I completely, that was a lot of the inspiration for Bittersweet 16 was like, was Hole and Green Day and La Tigra was a big inspiration on Bittersweet 16. And then with Autumn Leaves, it was more of like, I listened to so much folklore and that kind of music. And right now I'm very still in a folklore mindset and a lot of Lana Del Rey. I am still, though this is less musical inspiration, but I'm very much a metal and rock person. I probably one of my all-time favorite bands and one of my favorite bands, if not my favorite band right now, is System of a Down. And so I just listen to that kind of stuff all the time. And I think that it would be so fun to write like a rock or a metal album someday, which is totally different from Natalie. So I have all of these ideas in my mind that I'm just kind of messing around with on each song, but I'm very much in like a Lana headspace right now.
That's such a great balance. And like, I've had Serge from System on this show several times, many times, and I'm having a lot of fun in my head just imagining you doing a System of a Down type of Serge Tankian vocal.
That would be so cool. I love them and Limp Bizkit and Slipknot, like those are some of my favorite bands. So it's like, it's very different than, I mean, my entire like aesthetic and vibe and music. So it's just like, I don't know, someday I think it'd be fun to get a little rocky again, because I dabbled with a more of like punk pop. But
I look forward to hearing whatever that sounds like. But I, you know, I don't like folklore changed. Folklore blew up all of our worlds, I think. Like, that's, We've got that one up on vinyl around here, and it's probably played at least once a week or so. You know, it's sort of a perfect album. So
no, perfect freaking album. I will like die on that hill. That is probably my favorite album of all time. Ugh, like I can't even. It's so good. I'm so surprised whenever I was going through like my Spotify Wrapped that it was not in my top, because that was all I listened to this year. I was like, there's got to be something wrong. I was in the top 5% or 3% of Taylor Swift listeners across the globe, which was crazy, out of like what, 107 million monthly listeners. So I was really proud of that.
Did you have an album of the year? Something that was released this year? Do you think in those terms?
I would say probably Folklore. I can decide, because I have specific songs that probably aren't even in Folklore that are my favorite songs of the year, but album wise definitely Folklore. Folklore. What albums did I listen to this year? I know
that's
everything.
The
like
worst part about this question thing. On the spot is you're like, what did I listen? Oh my
I'm
god,
like, pulling up my Spotify, I'm like, what did I do? Because I can tell you my top albums of last year were like Decide by DJO and Pebble Rain by Lovejoy, and in those albums I really enjoyed those. You know what, there is this great artist, Blonde Shell, and her album was probably one of my favorites of this year.
Absolutely.
I became obsessed with her. Blonde Shell, Under Rug Swept, Alanis Morissette. I dug that album this year. Folklore.
Those are good ones. Have you reclaimed Nirvana yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? I let Nirvana get ruined for me for like a few months. And by the time I even put out that song, I was back. I was back, baby. I can't. Even the person that I wrote that song again, I actually, we reconnected and have been laughing about that song now. Like, we've reconnected and become friends again. And I'm like, you never ruined Nirvana. I couldn't let you. I just needed to be dramatic for the sake of songwriting, but I could never have let you.
You're not worth letting Nirvana be ruined. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was like, I can't.
I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, it's Nirvana. I also. What you do in arts, in the biggest picture in your entire career, again, you know, it's sort of what I say at the beginning, is so impressive that I can't figure out when you do the music, when you actually record the music, because with two releases this year, and that's not even counting, you know, the singles like Natalie that comes after this. And if I've got the timeline right, reading that you basically went straight from Ghostbusters to Ireland to shoot Anniversary.
I've been gone all freaking year.
So when did you do that? Like, how does it work for you? When do you fit this in?
So actually, two of my co-writers and my producer flew out to London while I was shooting Ghostbusters and stayed with me for a few weeks, and we just created a ton of music that I haven't even put out yet, you know, which is funny. Natalie was created in February. Autumn Leaves was created last October, November, and then it came out this October, November, I think, which was really funny. I mean, everything probably is created like a year before it comes out. So by the time I'm releasing it, like the things that felt so deeply personal that I was putting into the song at the time is now like a memory. It's like a little time capsule. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what was I even talking about? Oh my gosh, I can't believe I let that affect me so bad. I thought it was the end of the world. And then I get to release this music and be on the other side of it and like look back and talk about it and rehash it all if I'm talking about my sad music. But for Natalie, it's a different story. But yeah, I mean, this was created back in February, and then I had this song for so many months. And then once I got home from being out of the country for 7 months, I re-recorded it and we wrote a bridge.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with McKenna Grace. Knowing that you're on two sides, like you said, you record it and because it doesn't come out. And I know when you're, you know, 17, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, life changes so fast anyway.
So fast.
It's almost like finding a note you wrote somebody from a year ago and going, I kind of remember that person. Like, I remember doing that.
It's so funny. I mean, with Autumn Leaves, I have a song on there called What You'll Never Say, which ended up being one of the most popular off the album, but that was never going to be on the album. That was never going to be on the EP. It was never even going to be on the album whenever it was an album. But out of nowhere, my mom and I, what we do is, you know, we live a little bit out of LA, so whenever we drive into LA, like, we just, someday she'll be like, turn on like this song and this one, and I want to hear this demo, and is always listening to my demos. And we were like, wait a minute, this song is fire, why is this not on the EP? You know, it was only gonna be like four songs, and then all of a sudden we found that song and it ended up being on there and one of the favorites. It's funny how it works. I'll just randomly find stuff and be like, whatever happened to this song and why is it not out there?
It's one of my favorite, especially the way November rolls right into that one. It's a powerful moment of that EP. I'm glad you found it, because I think I'm with the congregation on this one. That's one of my favorites on there as well. So.
Me too. Thank you.
Yeah. On that whole thing of revisiting, you know, I do want to quickly bring up, because Ghostbusters, as we mentioned, you get to revisit this character again, and Phoebe and the progression. What is the progression of your character? I mean, do you find that in something like this?
Yeah, I mean, totally. Whenever I first started doing these films, I had just turned 13 right before we went to shooting. I mean, I remember, I think Jason and Logan, who plays podcasts, like, came to my 13th birthday party before shooting. And so, you know, now I'm 17, I'm gonna be 18 next year, and this is coming out next year. It's crazy. Of course, there's a natural progression, and it's fun getting to play Phoebe as a teenager and exploring the new, like, family dynamics and Phoebe's new emotions and figuring out new friendships and relationships and just being a teenager. It's exciting to play as Phoebe, because I'm still figuring it out too. So it's cool doing that on screen.
I know I'm excited about it, as a lot of people are, and seeing the story back in New York City and everything. I've had Finn on here a few times as well. Do you guys do the music thing together? Do you ever get that opportunity? Does it ever come up?
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the first people that I was asking for advice, like, with label stuff or with releasing or what it's like, whenever I first started getting into music. But I mean, whenever we were on set on this one, he and I would both bring our guitars, and so would Logan, who plays podcast, because now he shreds on guitar now. He plays like Metallica and all that kind of stuff on guitar. So he'll show up on set with like this black, like, pointy electric guitar, and Finn and I will have our acoustics. And Paul Rudd, he plays guitar as well, really well, which I didn't know. And he has this running bit he always does where he starts Blackbird and he's like, wait, hang on, and he'll do it for like 30 minutes, just keep on restarting Blackbird like 500 times. So yeah, I mean, in that sense, never like in a professional capacity, but we have a very musical cast. We have a very musical cast, so there's always some form of guitar or something on set.
I like knowing there's a little bit of jam session going on.
Yeah, that's like my greatest. I'm like, Paul Rudd played my guitar.
But just never got through the full song.
Never got through the full song, but it's still like begun.
Yeah, I love that. It's a good bit. And I'll quickly just bring up to Beautiful Ghost Productions, because I know that's sort of the other part of this.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Because first off, The Bad Seeds Returns, co-wrote, executive produce, started, and that just launched everything, right? I mean, what's the plan? Do you guys have news from there?
I mean, we are right now in the midst of pitching a few different scripts, because my dad and I, we wrote The Bad Seed Returns, and then we have like four or five scripts right now. We have a bunch of different things that we're in the midst of pitching and putting out there, and we have a horror, we have a concept for a horror film, we have a horror script, we have a horror script that I would want to write a metal album for. I'm just gonna put that out there, like, I'm excited about it. We have like a comedy and a coming of age. We have a lot of different scripts that we're out and pitching right now that I'm really, really excited to see what happens with.
That's cool. And that's a great way to think about that. Like, if you just need an excuse to write an album, you're like, if I make the movie, I get to do the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, That's cool. I really hope you follow through on this metal album at some point. I really,
Me
really
freaking
do.
too. I will. I promise. Someday I'm gonna do it one
All
of these
right.
days.
Then I hope we get to talk about it. In the meantime, I so enjoy what you're doing. The music that's come out this year, and Natalie, it's a beautiful song. Congrats on everything you got going on, but especially thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. It's lovely meeting you.
My thanks to McKenna. The new single is called Natalie and Ghostbusters Frozen Empires in theaters later this year. Thanks, of course, to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual places, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget again, please do help us out by leaving a review and giving the series a rating as well. That helps so much. After all that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. We have a whole lot of fun over there. Would love for you to listen in. You get classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured the music of Pete Droege and the Squirrel Nut Zippers, the Smithereens, Ramones, Sonic Youth, Sheryl Crow, The Shins, Teddy Swims, Mike Doty, Prince, John Lennon, Noel Gallagher from Oasis, the Smashing Pumpkins, the Killers, the Goo Goo Dolls, Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses, Grace Potter, Alison Russell, the band Love, Our Lady Peace, the Vaccines, Florence and the Machine, Kings of Leon, Lenny Kravitz, Middle Kids, and my interview with Lee Loughnane of the band Chicago. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Sorry, I don't know if you heard that. I have my computer on Do Not Disturb. If my mom texts in a group chat, she has push notifications, and then it'll show up on my computer. It's so embarrassing.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.